we had the class I was in, the co-ed one class upstairs. I was moved as we engaged in this conversation that John Fry led us so well in talking about those things that give us joy, those times we feel like a fish out of water, those words that describe us. And it's a conversation I just think we need to be continually having with one another as we learn to know each other, because we are the body of Christ. This scripture that we're looking at today is just an amazing text. And I was quite moved by it this past week. You know, I will ask you to turn back the clocks a little bit and remember something from years back. It connects a little bit to the story I told with Yosef last week, Yosef Berkel. But at, years back, there was an exchange student that lived with Doug and Lori Long, and her name was Saskia. And she was from Germany. Some of you maybe perhaps still keep in contact with her. And we've had a number of wonderful exchange students over the years. Just been a real blessing. I would love to see more of that happening again. But Saskia, as a young woman, very insightful, deep thinker. Not a believer, as I would understand her. But she interacted with our church during that year in some very significant ways. And I still remember her at our church retreat when Yosef was leading us. And Yosef, in good Yosef Berkel style, he said some things that kind of offended her as a non-believer. And she actually, some of you remember, she actually stomped out of that meeting room. She was clearly offended. And Yosef didn't bother him too much, but he's also very relational, cares for people. And he's got a thicker skin than I do. I can learn a lot from Yosef. And Yosef went and talked to her later in German. I have no idea what they were saying, but they had a good conversation there in the lobby there. But what I'm getting around to here is that Saskia, as she reflected on her year in the U.S., and I heard this from Doug and Lori, and I also heard it to some extent from Saskia, she said one of the most significant experiences she had living in the U.S. was being part of our church. And she had never seen anything quite like it. And having spent some time in Germany, I can kind of see where she's coming from, where she had never before seen a group of people, intergenerational, who were in each other's lives and who know each other and care for each other, who, when someone is sick, take them meals. A church where you're actually known and cared for and loved. And that might seem like something, for those of us who have been in the church all our lives, something we say, well, that's just what church is. But for Saskia, who would go into church buildings in Germany, and it was you didn't know the priest or the pastor or whatever, you didn't know other people, you'd go in there, and it was very religious in the way she experienced it. This was something phenomenal. And here again, I really believe it's one of those things that if we're accustomed to it all of our lives, we sometimes don't know what we have. The body of Christ, the church, is an incredible thing. And I just want to invite you, on this day we're looking at vision, is do you realize what we have in one another? As believers, gathered together, who know you, love you, care for you. And yet, of course, the church is always imperfect. It always is. And in fact, so many places in Scripture, like in Corinthians, where Paul is talking to, giving some amazing kind of admonition or teaching to the church, often, most often, it's because they were having some problem. The great scriptures in the epistles are because they were having conflict in some way. And some of the most beautiful scriptures come out of those conflicts. So if there's anything we know about the church, it's never perfect anywhere. But it's God's plan. It's God's way of being present in this world through you and I as the church. And this text here in Corinthians just gives us this wonderful image of this. You know, when the Holy Spirit was poured out in Acts chapter 2, what I tend to think of most is the way it impacted individuals. To think about people speaking in tongues, lives being transformed. And that's all very real, very important. But one of the most significant things that for me that I sometimes miss over the years has been that the Holy Spirit created a community, a group of people. That may have been one of the most profound miracles of Pentecost, is that it formed this group of people that at the end of chapter 2, they broke bread in their homes and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. The Holy Spirit creates a community. That when you receive salvation through Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of you. We celebrate that for you personally, what it means to have salvation from your sins. But when someone comes to know Christ, the church gets a new gift in you. Every single one of you who know Jesus are this very important gift that God gives to the church. It's like I said at my niece's baby dedication a couple weeks ago. There's never been another Gabriella, and there's never been another one of you. Do you realize the gift of who you are to the body of Christ? And this passage underscores just how important each and every one of us is in the body of Christ. There are no insignificant members. And that might sound like, this is the patronizing thing the pastor says. Oh, you're just as important as me. And you don't really mean it. But if you take 1 Corinthians 12 seriously, every single one of us is an incredible gift to the church. That we find our experience with the Holy Spirit is incomplete if we are not an active part of a body of believers in some way. And that in our culture that is very individualistic, and not just in America, but around the world. We were talking to Ethiopian leaders and they were saying, it's changing over here. That our culture is becoming more individualistic, just like yours in America is, just like other places are. Wherever you have technology, you have an increase in individualism. That the church, one of the things the church faces everywhere is this being people being drawn to individual private lives. One of the real miracles of Pentecost is that God creates a community. That for you to really experience the Holy Spirit the way God wants you to, that is to be intended to be a part of a body of believers you're known, loved, and cared for, and can express the unique gifts that God has given to you. I just want to shout from the rooftops. And that's what that's the purpose of our conversation in Sunday school today, where it gets us thinking in these ways. You know, if you look at this scripture, you can go to the next text here. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, spiritual gifts. And Paul gives this wonderful metaphor of y'all, to use Virginia language, y'all are the body of Christ, you all. Some of us who, this word you, is it singular, is it plural? No, you all are the body of Christ. Not you an individual, but you all. Yuns are the body of Christ. You're the body of Christ. You know, I sometimes, when I'm praying, preparing for sermons, and sometimes metaphors, images will come to me, and there's this process where I'm like, God, is that you, or is that just bad pizza? Is that just some weird idea? And you have no idea some of the things that get cut from my sermons, because that just doesn't work, that's too corny, too cheesy. You know, I have to tell you, if I would have been out walking in the woods and had this thing, oh, the church is like a body, and we're different body parts. Part of me says I would have said, you know, that's kind of corny. I think I'm not going to share that. But this is scripture. And so I'm telling you, I didn't make this up. This is what Paul said through the Holy Spirit in Corinthians, that you are the body of Christ. And just as the body has many different parts, so we as the church. You lose your big toe, you might not think that's a big deal. Try walking without your big toe. Every single person is important. And even those, I think the best part of this is, even those parts that seem less important or seem weaker are the most important. There is some profound truth in here that I'm saying we have to get a hold of. But we are, the verse here I want you to see. Now to each one, and I underline that on person, on purpose. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Look at those words that are underlined and feel the impact of that. It doesn't say, now to several really gifted people in the church, maybe 10% of the people, that the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. No, it says that each one, or maybe it says, now to each one, but once you get to be 80, then that expires. No, it doesn't say that either, does it? Or no, you have to be 12 or 13 to, no. He says, to each one who knows Jesus, the manifestation of the Spirit is given so that they can feel wonderful off by themselves. No, for the common good. Every single person here who knows Jesus, who has been given the Holy Spirit, Christ living within you, each one is given a gift of the Holy Spirit for the common good of the church. You know, Conrad Kinnegy spoke at our fall leadership gathering, and he preached a sermon that was a little controversial. Had people thinking, I've shared this with some of you have heard his sermon. But one of the things he said that really made some people uncomfortable was he said, the downfall of the church in the 21st century is that we have elevated the professional clergy model to the exclusion of the priesthood, the giftedness of all the believers in the church. And he's saying this, and someone like me who's a full-time pastor slinking down my seat, he said it again. He said, I'm telling you that the biggest danger for the church is the elevation of the professional clergy model. I'm sinking down a little further in my seat. Someone said to me, I remember a conversation afterwards, someone said, so how does that make you feel, Tom, to hear him say that? And I said, I think he's right on. Amen.
Amen.
He's right on. Now, it doesn't mean, Conrad had to clarify this because people were like, what are you saying? He said, doesn't mean I don't believe in leadership. Doesn't mean I don't believe in pastoral giftings or the importance of proclaiming the word and all those things. He had to really defend himself on this one. But he said, we are the body of Christ. Every person is given a gift to contribute. And this elevation of the professional clergy model, if distorted, can give us the reason to think that we pay someone to do the ministry of the church, it's taken care of, and we come and watch and applaud. We are the body of Christ. Each one is given a gift. And this is not meant to be a sermon that feels manipulative, to say, oh, I'm just trying to make everybody feel guilty and get involved in some way. No, it's good news. This is really good news for the church that each one is given a spirit for the common good. And it really means we need to do a better job of paying attention. I call it holy curiosity. To be paying attention, like the conversation I was in upstairs in Sunday school, that's what we're talking about. That's holy ground. That's what we're saying as we listen to one another carefully and say, what does that story you just told tell us about how God has uniquely created you? Listening, paying attention, being curious in a holy kind of way. Ruthie, I'm glad you're here today. You know, because I think back to Wren. You miss him. We miss him. And for those of you who didn't know Wren was just this extraordinarily gifted man who, he was a master electrician, he was a master plumber, he was a master builder, he was a master, you name it. He could do it all. Also very quiet man. He was often quiet, and Ruthie happened to mention to me one day when Ruthie was administrative assistant, she said, did you know that Wren has preached on occasion? And this is when I was still getting to know Wren. I said, really? Because Wren's very quiet. It's not a gift that you would immediately think that Wren had. We all saw his gifts in electrical work and plumbing, all those things. On Ruthie's word, we said, okay, let's have Wren preach someday. And I remember when this popped up in the bulletin, preaching on, I don't know, January 31st, Wren Zimmerman. And I remember it caught people like, really? Wren preaches? It wasn't something we were prepared. We knew Wren was gifted in all these other areas, but when Wren preached that one Sunday, I think a lot of us were blown away. I mean, Wren was the kind of guy that sermons would be like in a crock pot. And Ruthie would tell me when Wren had a sermon in a crock pot. And it would be cooking for a long time. And he was thinking about it as he was working, and God was speaking to him. And then when it was ready, Ruthie would let me know. And we had Wren preach here. I miss Wren's sermons because they had depth to them. Because part of the introverted nature of Wren was that perhaps when a lot of us are talking, Wren was listening to and paying attention to things. We could have easily missed that gift that Wren had. It happened to be that Ruthie mention this. But I really think, I can't possibly know everything about all of you. That it's important for each one of us as the body to be helping, to pay attention, to be listening, to say, did you know this person sings? Did you know this person loves to visit? Some years back, someone said we found out Mim Martin and Sharon Everly loved to visit. I didn't know that. And they are now visiting people in all kinds of various ways using that gift. And others as well. But sometimes we don't know unless we talk about other people in this kind of way and highlight gifts people have. Gifts is given to each one in some way. And I love Ephesians 4, I think, clarifies so well. What is the role of church leaders? It is to equip God's people for works of service so the body of Christ can be built up. And I think if there's anything God is speaking so clear to me and to us going into this year is, I would love to see us make this 1 Corinthians 12 passage one that becomes a theme verse for this year. As we celebrate that we're a body with many parts, many members equipped to do different things, we are not in charge. God is in charge here. God is in charge here. How many times do we need to hear that? Are you telling the story? Am I telling the story? God says to us. We are not in charge here. And sometimes we like to think we are. But in the church we are dealing with, this is a work of the Holy Spirit. That means that there's times where God will call us to send people out. Boston News Now. We launch them, believing that God is calling, and we launch them with grief, but with joy, because that's what God's calling us to do. And we also welcome people in, recognizing the Spirit of God is a part of that. That what we do is that we roll out the hospitality as best we can for anyone God is bringing our way, and we willingly release anyone God is calling out. We're not in charge here. Praise God for that. We can put the next slide on here. All these are work of one and the same Spirit. And he distributes gifts to each one just as he determines. And how many of us could tell stories about early years of our lives where we really wanted to be something. We tried to be something but had to finally accept, okay, that's not me, even though I wanted to be me. And I've told stories about that for myself. And what joy and freedom there is when we come to be grateful for who God has called us to be and who we're not. And one of the things we learn from this is that we depend on each other. One of the things I learned when I was a youth pastor, one of the things that was years back here, where we'd go away with the youth on a retreat, and I don't know, something would come up, and maybe there'd be a flat tire or something. And I'd have, I'm trying to do my thing here. I forget how this all happened, but then the youth are all watching. Oh, you're doing that wrong, and this wrong. And it really brought out some of my insecurities. Because that's kind of like me, a fish out of water. Hands-on kind of stuff. I've shared about that. Makes me very, especially when people are watching me. Then I get really inept. So something that is a deficiency becomes even more of a deficiency when people are watching. And so I began inviting people to go along with me. I remember Tim Greenwalt was one. Tim Greenwalt and I were completely opposite in our giftings. But Tim became my wingman. and Tim would take care of the driving. And I knew if anything came up, Tim's got it. And all I had to worry about was relating to the kids. And Tim very quietly just took care of business. I have come to realize that there's so many times where if we come to realize that God actually intentionally creates us with some areas of weakness so that we will depend on other people and depend on God, that the friendship that I developed with Tim came about in a certain way because I needed them. And I shared in Sunday school, I've been asked to be the treasurer for Groffdale District. And anyone who knows me say, that's kind of funny. You're not even, but I'm doing it with the help of a very skilled CPA named Cheryl Hirsch from the Metzler congregation. Where I'm past the point of trying to pretend I'm something I'm not. But it doesn't mean I'm not willing to try something new, but with the recognition and the humility to say, I need Cheryl Hirsch looking over my shoulder. And her office, as she told me, is right between Rita's and Dairy Queen. So, gotcha. You're speaking my language. And I go that route all the time with all this. So it becomes something that's very life-giving for me, even though I realize I need someone looking over my shoulder every step of the way. I'm learning, and it's an opportunity that Cheryl is now experiencing to have a place of life and significance in the district. And that would never have happened if I was a very competent, capable CPA type. I'm not. And it's okay. Now, another example of this is Jerry Keener, who's the president of EMM. And I've had the opportunity to work alongside of him. He's one of the best administrators I've ever seen. I don't know if I ever saw anyone who had such a pure gift of administration. And that's different from me. But I was leading a meeting sometime about a year ago, and Jerry was part of this. And I led this thing kind of in the way I do, which was more relational focused, just kind of more along with my gifts. And after the meeting, Jerry came up to me, and he said a really affirming thing to me. He said, "That was wonderful." He said, "And it was also totally different than the way I would have done it." And he's right. But Jerry has come, and it's been a long process for Jerry. And Jerry, part of Jerry's story is that he went to seminary, and he went to become a pastor early on. He was a pastor in New York City, and he was up there doing his pastor thing. But he found that the work that he was really finding fulfillment in was managing the buildings in New York City for the Mennonite Church. And then he went to Vietnam as a missionary. He went there as a teacher pastor. And along the way, the school that he was sending his kids to was kind of in decline and kind of falling apart. And they asked Jerry if he would be on their search committee for their new administrator. He said, okay. It wasn't too long until they began seeing gifts in Jerry, and they asked him to run the school. Long story short, he said yes. And his administrative gifts came into that school and turned it around in an amazing way, still going strong. But what Jerry tells you out of that story is, for the first part of his life, he was trying really hard to be a pastor. And he was a fine pastor, I'm sure. But it was when he began to really realize what God had truly created him to do that he found his joy and has been serving in administrative roles with joy and delight ever since, and empowering people who don't have those gifts to serve well. That's why he was able to come up to me and say that to me. He said, "Awesome job. Totally different than the way I would have done it." We need each other in the kingdom of God. We experienced that in Sunday school today. John Fry took the nebulous questions I put up there, and he made it into this beautiful chart. No, God has created each and every one of us with intentionality. And I've shared enough about my journey of struggling profoundly with insecurity about different areas of my life. One of the most difficult times, as I shared, was my yes team when we were building water tanks. And just feeling like a complete klutz. Really struggling during that time of saying, I don't like who I am. But then also having at that time the emergence of some gifts where Sister B at church would turn around 5 minutes before the service started and say, "Will you have devotions?" And I'd get up there and do it and actually found that I kind of enjoyed it. The beginning. Who has God created us to be? We're not in charge here. That God has distributed the gifts to each one just as he determines. And here's the other thing I want to share about. You know, we have these personalities, gift tests that we sometimes do, where they'll categorize you in certain areas. And I think they are wonderfully useful. And there's all kinds of different ones that people use, companies use. They're great. I affirm them. I think we should use them as a church. However, the big however, we need to be careful to thinking that the beautiful human race can all be slotted into four categories. One of my favorite personality tests is the DISC test, D-I-S-C. And you're a D or an I or an S, C or a combination of those two. And I remember when in Yes Training, when we took this test, and for the next 2 weeks, we went around saying, "Oh, well, you're doing that because you're a D. Oh, that's because you're an I. That's because you're..." And in one way, we were understanding each other, and another way, we were just totally slotting each other. God is far more creative than that. There's never been another Mel Martin. Ever. Praise God. Sorry to call you out there, Mel, if you don't mind. I can say that for every single one of you. There's never been another person like you with your configuration of unique gifts and abilities. Our job as a church is to get to know you, hopefully not in weirding you out, but in paying attention. And this is like the story I told from a significant moment in my life. At the end of my college writing class that I had struggled through and labored through, and at the end of the semester, the professor, Omar Eby, wrote this very short comment on my last paper. He said, "You make good insights. What are you going to do about it?" Something like that. What are you going to do about it? And I think we need to be holding that question out to one another when we see people's gifts and abilities and say, I noticed this about you. What are you going to do about it? The other thing I think is important for us to remember is that we change as the years go by. That just because you signed up to do something in 1975 doesn't mean that's what you're going to do for the rest of your life in the church. I think we need to give space for people to grow and change and do new things. And I would love to see us be working at that in the next year to be really saying, what would give you delight? How would you love to serve the church? And it doesn't mean we get away from, there's certain things that just have to get done. But I'd love to see us move away from saying, we need to fill this slot and this slot and this slot, and if you come into our church, we would love to plug you in right there, to a position, a posture of, who has God placed among us? What is your gift? How can we give space to release your gift in that way? What Dave Moore is doing as he draws, that doesn't have to get done. But he's got a gift for it, and we give space for it, and we rejoice in it. And you can name all kinds of different ways that's taking place. Are we using what we've got? Because that is what God calls us to do with one another. You put the next slide on up there. God created each of us as unique gifts to the church. And you can go to the next one. These parts that seem to be weaker are indispensable. I remember when I was a boy at Chestnut Hill Mennonite Church, there was a man, his name was Ron Miller, and Ron Miller had some special needs. But somebody along the way gave Ron Miller a job. And every Sunday, and I can close my eyes, in my mind's eye, I can totally see it. He walked up this side of the church. He was always chewing gum. And he would bring this cup of water that he had filled up downstairs, and he would bring it up, and he'd place it right there, and he would sit down every single Sunday. That was his job. And you can say, who had the more important job in the church? Carl Hershey, our pastor, wonderful pastor, or Ron Miller. And we can say it in a patronizing way to say, oh, well, Ron Miller, his job was just as important as Carl's. And by human standpoint, we say, no, come on, who are we kidding? That's just patronizing. That's patting him on the head. Or do we look at the scriptures and say, we now regard no one from a worldly point of view. And in the eyes of God, really mean this, what Ron Miller was doing with that cup of water was just as significant in the eyes of God as what Carl Hershey was doing as our preacher. Do you believe that? It's true. It's true. And that's what this text is telling us, that every gift is important. You know, some years back, and Fred Reeser, we love you. And I remember, I think it was Marie Hoover, who, when you came through a difficult time, and Marie Hoover came to you, and she's been your mom, like an aunt to you, and she said, Fred, let's get you something to do. And she got Fred set up with all the lists of birthdays in the church. Steph, you got a birthday tomorrow. You're probably getting a card from Fred Reeser. Madison, birthdays are this week. Fred sent those cards. That is huge, Fred. That is so significant. The Holy Spirit has given you that very important work to do. It's a part of building up the body of Christ. And we can say, well, it's good Fred has something to do, or we can say, that's holy ground. It's holy ground. It is no small thing. We now regard no one from a worldly point of view. And you know, I want to close with this last scripture here. If you want to go to the next one here. You know, a well-known verse, chapter in the Bible is the love chapter in 1 Corinthians 13. And sometimes people have that at their weddings and different things like that. And that's okay, that's fine. But that's really not what this is talking about. 1 Corinthians 13, where love is patient, love is kind, love is slow to anger, all these things about love. Paul put that in there because he knew that when you have a church full of different people, they drive each other nuts. It's just the way it is. And if there's one privilege that I'm having as in this role with the conference where I get to relate to churches around the world, every single church struggles. And when you first come in and you say, wow, this is awesome and amazing, but you hang out with them a little bit longer and you'll see the worse. Every single church around the world, even the Mesoretic Christos Church that I keep talking about all the time, they've got their issues and they've got their problems because they're made up of human beings with different gifts. that rub each other the wrong way and yet need each other profoundly. And it's like the missionary who went somewhere and just was just a rascal and just irritated and lorded it over everybody and drove everybody crazy and just was just not very loving to everybody. The mission board called this missionary home and they said, okay, you're home for a year, and every single day you're going to read 1 Corinthians 13. And then they sent him back. And he was different. And 1 Corinthians 13 is given to us because to really appreciate someone who's wired totally different than you takes a lot of grace and a lot of love. But just like marriage is not to make you happy, it's to make you what? Holy! Marriage is to make you holy. And so you marry someone who's differently wired than you are, and we all end up doing that, and that person becomes this instrument of God to sanctify you and make you more holy. And that's what happens in the church. And so we can say, wow, this person, like Jerry said to me, you did that totally different than I did, than I would have. It was great. That we appreciate the gifts that we bring to the body of Christ and celebrate it. All right, that's all I've got. But may God bless you. May we take great hope. We are the body of Christ. As the Holy Spirit lives within you, it calls you to be part of a community where you're indispensable. Amen.